Lord God, I thank you again for this time and the opportunity, Lord. And we just pray as we read into your word that you just open our hearts and our ears. Lord, let us not just think foolishly, but Lord, let us be willing to listen, Lord. Let us be willing to apply it to our daily lives and look to your talk and what you're trying to show us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So starting in verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fall in the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. This idea of follow peace with all men, as we mentioned, is that peace is actually the peace of God that he gives you. And as you walk in holiness to others, you respect, you consider them when you make decisions. And it's not about you taking care of yourself or what's your most. You're always fulfilling the two great commandments if you're walking in holiness. You love God and you love others. And so you evaluate the needs of others. And so you're following after peace with all men. You're actually just, when you work at your boss, I tell people all the time that at work, I said, I'd rather have my boss walk up to me when I didn't know he was there and observe me. Because then he will be more like, I can trust Doug. I know he's going to do what's supposed to be done. Whereas most people wait until their boss shows up and they go, maybe look like I'm doing something. You know, or it shouldn't be that way. So if you're in walking in holiness, you're not a men pleaser, but you do cause them to look favorably upon you or to respect your work ethic when they see you, because you don't just do it when they're around. Mm-hmm. And because you're serving Christ. I have to remind myself all the time because I get really frustrated with my boss. You know about bosses. My boss is not a good boss to work for in a lot of ways. Yeah. But I try to tell myself to look past that. It's hard. And so my flesh is saying, no, but God has always taken care of me. I always tell people, you know, it doesn't pay well, then well, but God has managed to take care of everything. Sure. So that's the key. Yeah. Just allow him to take care of you, irrespective of how the world does it, and follow peace with all men. Do what is right in the sight of the Lord, towards them as being your boss, irregardless of how you're treated. Mm-hmm. And I think it shines a light for a lot of the people. But the important part here we see too is, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And we mentioned this a few weeks ago, this idea of which no man shall see the Lord. And when you look at it from the Jewish understanding of that, when they talk about seeing the Lord, they talk about enjoying or enjoy in the Lord. When you see the Lord, it means to, you got him as your focus and attention in your life, and he is what brings you joy. So without holiness, you will not see. You will not enjoy the Lord. If you are not holy, it goes back to what you say. You're trembling and fearing. You have no peace with God. You don't walk in holiness with him. You are not enjoying him. You're actually hiding yourself in the rocks and clefts to avoid his judgment. That's what people are not in holiness do. They do not enjoy the Lord. Do not see the Lord. And if you're not in holiness, you don't see the Lord also in the aspect of if you're defiled and corrupt and polluted, you're far off. He is someone you know a little bit about, but you got a false view of him, and he doesn't affect you. Whereas if you draw nigh to him and you're walking in holiness, he has a huge impact on you. When you start thinking about something, you know, the Holy Ghost just grieves, and it tells you. You need to get that out of your mind. Think on things that are lovely, things that are true, things that have good report. You know, that again, something I have a hard time at work sometimes. I actually tell myself it. I sit there and say, you need to sing a hymn right now, whether it's just in your head.
Yeah.
Or you need to, things that are lovely. And I always tell people, I always resort to rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll tell myself this. I'm just because the circumstances you're in here, it just feels like, what's going on here? It's just, yeah, you've got to tell yourself these things and you got to live it out. And that's the idea here of those and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You will not see the Lord. You will not experience him in joy unless you're in holiness. And we talked about this already. You cannot be holy apart from God. God has got to impart his holiness. We are defiled, corrupt, full of putrefying sores. We are, I mean, I always tell people when they show pictures or they've seen pictures of people that are covered in leprosy and have lost parts. They're unpleasant to look. That's us in the sight of a holy God. Yeah, he still loved us so much, so gracious towards us that he did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And he wants to make you whole. 100%.
Amen.
And that's what he's doing with us. So without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. You cannot enjoy him. You cannot experience. See, unsaved people that are and they're defiled, they don't think of a holy, righteous God as something you want to run to and embrace.
Yeah.
They're like, why do I want to go to heaven? You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. I mean, I've heard people tell me that before. I said, well, if I become a Christian, I have to give up that. I can't. Okay. I don't understand why there's a big problem there, because those things don't satisfy. I mean, the guys at work make really good money. They work Sunday, double up, yeah, I'll be there. They're so excited about it. And yet the next week, man, Saturday, we all work Saturday. What about your family? What about your kids? I've had that conversation. I said, work, if you die tomorrow, they'll replace you. But your family needs you. I mean, I tell people still this day, she'll tell you, 3:30, I'm coming home as fast as I can to pick her up. And I tell her sometimes when she's had a bad day, she comes out, she's got a kind of a, I don't want to see that. I want to see a smile. Hey, I'm seeing you. I'm happy. I see you. You're seeing that. That's, you know, you got to be there for each other. And I think, again, when I think about holiness, people that aren't holy will defile themselves and corrupt themselves, changing after the things of the world and try to satisfy themselves that way. Where God gives us things richly to enjoy. One of them is marriage. One of them is our children. One of them is, those are things that we should focus on, I mean, and take care of as part of our being holy. God gives, like you said, God gives you time for those things. You commit your time. You sanctify, set a time for him. You have all the time to do those other things, to enjoy. Just be holy as he is holy. Do those things that are pleasing to him. And then verse 15, it goes on, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. And we talk about it. It is the grace of God that produces this holiness in you. And you need to look diligently, lest any man, you need to examine and continually watch yourself, make sure that you're not giving into or doing something contrary to God, what is not holy. Make sure I get back. Lest any root of bitterness springing up and trouble you. And that's another thing that will happen to you if you're not in holiness and you get your foot off the path that God wants you in. It's very usually what you'll do is you might see someone who is godly, who is walking in their faith. You'll start getting frustrated. You'll start looking at them and judging them and being negative towards them. And it's that root of bitterness. It comes up. How you deal with that root of bitterness is get back in the will of God. He will deal with those things. He will remove that carnal thoughts that you might have towards someone else and your negativity towards someone else. And that, you talk about the church, that's infected the church.
Yeah.
We've had business meetings when we had a large unit that you can just tell people are set on, I don't like that person, and so all their ideas are bad. They're just bitter towards them. And they come up with a great idea instead of considering this might be what God wants us to do as far as a simple decision, and they will, nope, I want nothing to do with it. That's not holiness. Mm-hmm. Holiness does not allow that bitterness to spring up, and it does not get take root anyway. It'll say, in a sense, why am I frustrated? Why am I angry to the person? And you actually reflect on, you know what? I've had bad feelings. I've had bad thoughts towards them. Confess that. Get it out. It's liberating when someone can do something offensive to me, and I've learned this, you know, even within the Christianity, to forgive them without them even asking for forgiveness. Amen. Show graciousness to them, and God will actually help remove that from your thought process to when they call you and need a favor, you don't think, oh, they're going to do something. You know, you think that way. God can take care of that. But you first got to submit to that and say, the right thing to do here is just forgive them, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. That's the holy way of doing things. Unfortunately, in the church, we allow things to get settled in our heart. That's all we think about. That's all you think. It never benefit you. That's a root of bitterness. Don't let it spring up in you. Because what it does is it'll defile you. It pollutes you, it corrupts you. And if you're polluted and corrupt, and maybe you're an elder in the church, it affects everybody that you come in contact with. And I've said this before. Years ago, I've taught Sunday school class, and I can see it on the face of women. Not picking on women, but their bitterness, they're angry. They're standing just... Mm-hmm. And they're a grumpy old man, too.
Yeah.
They're not allowing the Word of God to speak to them, right like that. They're just so focused on that one other person in the church. I'll even see them. They'll be looking over them. You know, because some people get tired and they start nodding off, not talking currently, but in the past. And they'll look at that other younger person. How dare they fall asleep in church? Where's your focus? If the Word of God is being preached, it should not be thinking about the person three rows over or two up. It should be focused on, what would you have me to hear? What do I need to contemplate myself today? You know, not what somebody else needs to hear. Because that gets bitterness. It'll root up, it'll spring up in you and defile you. And guess what? When you have an opportunity to minister to that young person, your thoughts will be far from them. It won't be talking nice to them. It won't be, let me show you how to do this or help you with that. It's, look at that. They can't even do that. What good is that for the church? I mean, the elders should be ministering to the younger. And be surprised, sometimes the younger people don't look up to the elderly people. It might be because you as an elderly person gave them that, what they call a stink eye, or you call the quit your running around and quit, you know, just that negativity. No, quit doing that. And they may turn in turn minister to you. But you've let that bitterness spring up in you. It'll defile you. I want to go to First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. I did say I was going to keep this short, so we'll do my best. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. We're again just talking about this holiness and what God wants to see us to be holy as He is holy. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It says in verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound. Notice what it says again. The Lord make you to increase and abound. Let me say that again. The Lord make you to increase and abound. It is the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's work. He has to do it. We in our flesh can do everything and say, I'm going to be nice to people today, or I'm going to do this. If it's in the flesh, profit it nothing. It really doesn't. You won't have a peace with God because He'll say, that's not what I asked you to do. That's not what I'm telling you to do. He's asking you to surrender to His will, and He will work through you to minister to others. So when you minister to Him, it will be a blessing to them, and you'll have joy. You'll go home and you may be exhausted. You go, oh, I'm so glad I was part of that today. I didn't turn away from God. I didn't, like you said, where I fight against things that are spiritual and say, well, I got excuses not to do this and like that. No, you just, as God directs, but the Lord make you to increase in amount. And if you don't have a heart for others, you don't pray to God. Say, God, I need this. I know this is a commandment. This is something I should be abounding in this, and I'm not. Work in me. Do something. It'll change me. He'll point those things out. He'll help you to increase and abound in love one toward another. That should be a distinguishing thing about us as brothers and sisters in Christ, our love for one another. That's what people should see. They should see that if someone was to talk bad about Joe in front of me, I don't want to hear it. How do you know? You know, you're spreading a lie. That's just... That's my brother. I mean, I'm not going to allow you to, I'm not going to sit here and talk about this with you and like that. And unfortunately, within the church, sometimes we tend to give an ear to things that we should not be listening to. And paying attention to things about what other people say about them instead of, No, that's my brother. I love him. Yeah, sure, he has his faults. I have mine too. I'd die for him. I hope he would do the same for me. And that says, that love is that the love of God sheds in your heart. It should shine out to other people. That, regardless of what someone else says about someone, it's, hey, I think they're special. They're special to me because they're a child of God. They're my brother and sister in Christ. That's a bond. No communication, whether it even be something be true about them, is going to separate me from them to keep from ministering them to them as I should. So let the Lord make you increase in the bound of love one toward and toward all men. Again, this is again, have compassion on some. Be compassionate. The Lord looked out among the people who had their own ideas and thoughts and all he says, he saw they didn't have a shepherd. Yeah. And he wanted to fill that role that they needed. And that's the way we should be. When God brings us into a situation and say, God, what would you have me to do? Strengthen me to do it. Give me the desire. Give me the love for these people that I need to have. Because then it'll be effective. And what does he want? To the end. This is the purpose. Adam's been talking about the end or the conclusions. This is the end. This is the purpose. That he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. It sounds a lot like he wants to do in Hebrews, where he wants to establish you in the holiness of God. Establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. It's not before man, it's before God. Again, you're accountable to God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. This is establish yourself unblameable before God. Thinking about God, he's going to examine. He's going to be your judge, not others. God is your judge of what is right and what is wrong as far as establishing your hearts unblameable in holiness. And remember, that holiness has got to come from God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. This idea, again, the end is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, have I established my heart unblameable in holiness before God? Am I prepared to meet God today? If Jesus Christ were to come today, am I unblameable? Am I walking in holiness towards others? My spirit right? Is my heart right with God as far as how I think and do and other things? Because there's so many times we have things that come up in our lives that just cause us to get polluted with the world, defiled with the world. Get those things out because Christ might be here. And you think about it, when you get to heaven and you got to be, who's going to be in heaven? Unholy people? Holy. Holy angels. People that are sanctified, set apart. Why would you want anything that defiled you or polluted you be on your garment when you appear there? I mean, we would be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed. Because who are you going to see? The Holy Child, the Holy One, Jesus Christ. He's going to be the one there. That you should make sure now that you're unblameable, unreprovable, in holiness before God. I put down here just note, holiness in a person is accomplished by them submitting all to God and is done by the power of God according to the will of God and is moved by the love of God for his glory and the profit of mankind. When something is done in holiness, it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When something is done in holiness, it is that good and perfect acceptable will of God. And if God is wants, he gives you this, his will, your will agrees with it, and you surrender to him, you submit to his will, the power of God will perform that work in you according to his will. He will move you, his love will cause you to see things as he sees it, and you'll have a desire to say, I've got to go do something. I've got to minister to that person. And it's done in the holiness of God. It's done with the right heart. Your soul, your whole body is functioning towards that goal. And again, God will be well pleased with it. And a man can respond to it negatively. But if you suffer for doing righteous things, so be it. As you said this morning, you could lose your arm or break your arm up. Doing what God has called you to do, you should glory in that. Because You are pleasing the most important person, God. You are in the center of his will. You are doing that which he called you to do in holiness. And you're doing it. Man can reject it still. Christ was a perfect example of that. He did everything that pleases the Father. He did everything that was the will of the Father, and it was the best thing for mankind, and mankind still rejected it. Holiness is not accepted by it, those who are unholy. It is despised of them. Just finishing with one last one, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans 1, 4. Speaking of Jesus Christ, and it says, "I'm declared to be the Son of God with power." Notice right in the center of this verse, "according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." He was declared, he was shown, it was openly revealed, he's the Son of God with power.
Amen.
According, conforming to, or in keeping with, in accordance with, holiness, Spirit of holiness. So when you look at Christ, it was confirmed by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, his life, his death, everything about it was pleasing to God in the Spirit of holiness, that he was what? Raised from the dead. That's the same way with that. If we walk in the Spirit of holiness, in other words, do it according to, conforming to, in accordance with God's will for our life, and is done by his power, through his, for his glory, and for the benefit of others. Amen. That's, God is pleased with it. And we will, he's just the first fruits of them that were resurrected. All those who are in Christ will be resurrected them. We should be thinking that Christ went all the way to the death of the cross for us. And that is done in the Spirit of holiness. Perfectly within the center of God's will, and yet what it cost him his life, we should think the same thing. If it cost me life, I'm in the center of God's will. And he's going to be well pleased with it. And I always tell people, I always think of Stephen when he was being stoned. His face shone as it was the face of the... And while he was being stoned, what most of us say, unbelievable torment you were going under, I think God, with his mighty hand, was comforting. And opened up the heavens to him. So they said, that stoning? Nothing. And Paul, through his histories, yeah. Because you know why? They were doing it in the Spirit of holiness. It wasn't in the flesh. Oh, no, I don't know if we can do it. It's, they were in a Spirit of holiness. Yeah. They were like, it says, Jesus, he was like a flint. He said, this is what God wants me to do? I'm doing it. Because he was in the Spirit of holiness. God was in total control. It was, like he said, not my will, but thine be done. 100% committed to it. And it was a blessing for us that it happened. That conforming to holiness is that what we should be doing. We should be keeping ourselves in accordance with that holiness, that striving to do what God has called us to do in his strength. And like I said, the flesh will many a times probably say, I've got this. You know what? You've surrendered to God. You've submitted, like you said, for salvation. And you've done something, but now we can do this on our own. No, you can't. It's, you've got to continue to go back and say, God, I need you to direct, to give me the strength to do it, and fulfill it in me. Because if I do it in my own strength, I know it's not going to be good. It's not good for others. God's, again, he's perfect God. He's holy. He's going to judge it, and he's going to say, nope, not acceptable. That's defiled. That's polluted. That's corrupted. And we just don't judge ourselves that way. But we should judge ourselves that way. We should examine ourselves and say, am I doing what God has called me to do in his strength? Am I doing it according to the Spirit of holiness? Because if he did, it's like Jesus Christ here says, by the resurrection of the dead. And therefore, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What a wonderful thing to have said about you. If you do the work of God here, that you'll be... said you did that according to the Spirit of holiness. We'll close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We realize that within our body there is no good thing that dwelleth. And Father, that we should not be trying to accomplish the things in the flesh that that you desire to accomplish in us, but it has to be done through your Spirit. You've given us the Holy Ghost within each one of us. And Father, he is grieved by the spots and the blemishes because he wants what's best for us, and he wants your will to be perfected in us. And Father, we should also want that too, to help us to surrender to your will. Help us to understand what your word says about things, to understand and grasp what you would have us to do as individuals and collectively as a church. That you just, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your long-suffering towards us. Father, that you would continue to do that work that needs to be done in us until that day when Christ appears. And we just pray your hand be upon each one of us as we go out this week, that you'd watch over us and guide and direct, help our thoughts, our spirits, our souls, to just focus in on what you have us to think about, to contemplate, that we be, I guess anxious would be a wrong word, but just ready to meet the needs of others and to do what you have us to do, and that we can be a blessing as you are a blessing to us. And we just pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
It's amazing how we have this idea that when we're sons of God, we're going to have the resurrection of the dead, and we don't think about the according to the Spirit of holiness part.
Yeah, it's right in the center of it. Sometimes when you read a verse, and I just skipped this all my life. You go right on to the resurrection. But it's according to the Spirit of holiness. And why was it acceptable to God the Father? Because it was according to the Spirit of holiness. Everything about Christ, he surrendered to the will of Father. Everything he did was about doing the Father's will, and he was doing it not in his own strength. It was according to what God wanted to do. And it's exactly what was needed for all of mankind for all eternity. And we don't think about it ourselves. That can't happen. Like you said, old Tom Hart, why can't it happen? It's just, are we willing to surrender and do what God has called us to do according to the Spirit of holiness? God knows what he wants to do. He's going to execute it. But we sometimes, I think, almost like a Moses and say, I can't do this. I can't talk. I can't do that. That's just our wrong. God has called us. He knows who to call. Your thing is just surrender and say, I'm scared. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here, but God, this is what you asked me to do. No.
I feel like, it's just, I don't know, so much better, so much. Try to turn salvation into a formula, a quick thing. People just want the benefits. But it's about him. It's about knowing him, fearing him, honoring him, to where his word and his commandments really become the core essence of your being. Where even if they kill me, I'm not going to dishonor
right.
The commandment of God, his commandments, those who keep his commandments know him. And those who
right.
say they know him and know him, I don't know, just the other night it was very clear to me, even with my kids, I just had to really rebuke them. This is the commandment of God. You need to fear God. This is more important. Trying to get those commandments kind of sink into their heart to where they're not just chasing their things, doing whatever. This is what the Bible says. We're not supposed to do this. This is the commandment of God.
Right.
Hey,
God, you said it goes along with the fear of God.
Fear of God is Bible. We're not like, it's not like, well, this is what the Bible, I know. No, well, we do this because the Bible. No, this is like, this is the living God. These are his commandments. I actually believe his commandments are right. I believe these things are true. I believe these things are I don't know. It's got to be deep in the heart and soul. It can't just be superficial.
I think, like you said, though, sometimes they even, like, I don't know if it's American thing, or just us in human, we try to understand. We want to understand something before we go through with it.
Yeah.
And God is not asking for that. He's asking for your faith. He's asking you to trust in Him.
Yeah.
Forget about your understanding, because sometimes you, like you said, the greatest blessing that I've seen in my life is when I look back and say, I can't believe I actually said this, or I went and did this, because my flesh was telling me, no, you don't do this. And it was just, you know, all of God. Well, there it is. That's the answer. Just let God do it. You know, just don't get in the way. Don't be the one that sits there and say, I can't do this, or I don't want to do this. And because you're going against God's will, and that's not good. That's not holiness, that's for sure. Yeah, but let it sink down. Like you said, they're the commandments of God. They should impact you.
Yeah. No, and that's just, it shouldn't impact. Like, that has to be our rule of life. That has to become like, those things are written in our heart.
Yeah, right.
And I will not break those things.
Right. That's why even like when Peter said, talking about something being unclean, it was so ingrained in him. I guess he missed the idea that if God calls something clean, don't you call it unclean. But he was so hooked on, he had it that this was not right for me.
Yeah.
Until he had to be corrected. And now he saw it because Jesus opened it up to him and give him understanding. But that's the way we should be. Almost so much fervently for what God has commanded.
We got the New Testament.
Right.
We got the words of life.
Right. That you've erred, if anything, on the positive side of it, trying to withhold it, but then realize, okay, this is the area where God given us some grace to do things. So. Yeah, when I first read it, I read through that when I was doing Romans. I skipped right over that spirit of holiness. And then I read some commentary on it. They were trying to say it was the Holy Spirit. I said, that's not capital S there. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about something else other than that. And then you go look and you talk about worshiping God and the beauty of holiness. That's what Jesus Christ was. He was on fire for what God would have the Father do, and he was in the spirit of holiness 100%. He was just, so like when you said he went to the cross, it wasn't like, oh, I don't know if I should be doing this or not. No, it was
nothing wavering.
Yeah, nothing wavering. Yeah, he couldn't be stopped.
That's the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer, like where sometimes, you know, because we still, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of, it's just a pray, trust, and pray until like,
right, like he doesn't
arm his yeah, and it's like, okay, and it sets his face, and, you know, he's ready to submit and go through it.
I remember saying you should be pressed, but I
is that what you made?
You know what's funny is I looked at that coloring page, but I had different verses.
Just
a couple days ago. I thought, this would be great for their
skin. Eight or nine.
Yeah, I found those when we were going through the classroom.
Yeah.
I thought, let me put these on the table. Let me see. Still hope, right?
What, those
things?
Oh, yeah,
I taught you guys these.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
I was their Sunday school teacher.